Today, let's start off by talking about Paul St-Pierre Plamondon. I had a chance to speak to him earlier in the afternoon. Look, beyond the confirmation that we found out on Saturday of a third referendum, he decided to dredge up the topic of Canadian history, Canada's wanting to assimilate Quebec, accused the government of Canada of being an existential threat to our future here. He brought up executions, deportations. A lot of people wonder why he decided to do this. And in the interview, by the way, Jean-Francois, I said to him, you know, I'm not sure who the real Paul St-Pierre Plamondon is. Is it the quiet, thoughtful, nuanced one that we've had a chance to talk to on many occasions, including in that lengthy podcast? Or is it this new Paul St-Pierre Plamondon who's now decided to foot down on the accelerator and go, you know, head forward into an election in 2026? What do you make of this?
I think both are there. And I know we had discussions, and since his speech on Sunday, people say, "Well, didn't he used to show, you know, the positive side of sovereignty, and now it's the negative side of Canada?" And I said, "Listen, just get settled, on even days, he's going to talk about the nice things about being free in a separate country, and on uneven days, he's going to say what's bad about Canada." It's like, you know, for sovereignists, we believe that we're in a toxic relationship with Canada in many ways. That's our view. And so when you're a toxic relationship and it's beyond fixing, you say, well, these are the reasons why it's toxic, so we want to leave. Now, leaving will allow us to have a different life, a more positive life. So both, when you're making a big change like that, you're leaving a negative situation to create a positive situation. You have to balance that. Now, clearly, we're in the negative week. That's clear. But he cannot be negative all the time. He has to go from one to the other.
But who do you serve when you bring up something like, you know, Canada's hit from 200 years ago and selecting facts about, you know, Francophones having been executed when, in fact, plenty of people at the time beyond Francophones were dealing with these things? Why bring this up at all?
Well, the destruction, you're talking about the Patriots being hanged, the destruction of Francophone villages was widespread. But this was 200 years ago. But last week in the House of Commons, there was an Acadian Liberal MP who tried to have a motion saying, "I wish that from now on I don't have to swear my loyalty to the royal family that deported my people." And not only didn't the government and the majority vote for that, but then a number of conservative MPs sang "God Save the King" in front of this Acadian MP, and we're still waiting for any apologies for the deportation of Acadians. So this is past history that still has traces in current events, like just last week.
Okay, I mean, you're describing an isolated case, and I understand it's an affront, obviously, to that particular politician. But again, this idea of bringing this up now, I ask, you know, Paul St-Pierre, Jean-Francois, who is this for? Who is this aimed at? Because if the thinking is, and we know from polling, that young people are not interested in independence, the numbers tell us that. So is this supposed to remind them that, hey, you know, you weren't here, you may not have learned about history, like a Quebec history in school. I'm reminding you what happened here 200 years ago, but we don't live 200 years ago. We live now, and this is not happening anymore, with the exception of this item that you described, this incident. Is that who it's aimed at?
Well, I think it's aimed at everyone. But when I go and talk to universities and colleges, I speak about Quebec history and Canadian history. Those who come to these meetings are interested in learning about it. But you're right that what is most important is not this distant past, is the present. And when he says that there seems to be a willingness to erase Quebec, well, just look at what happened in the last few months. The Canadian Prime Minister said that people don't care about Quebec's right to define its policies in health and education, or housing, because nobody cares, because the federal government decided to do anything it wanted, even in Quebec jurisdictions and other provinces. So that's kind of, you know, is it nonchalance or is it a willful decision to make as though the province doesn't have the ability to decide by itself? And by the same token, as we speak, you know, the three main federal parties, the Conservatives, the Liberals, and the NDP, have pledged to ask the Supreme Court of Canada to annul Quebec's ability to use the Constitution to pass its law on secularism and French. I mean, this is current events. So they're trying to erase the possibility for Quebec to do that, although it's settled constitutional law. There's something there.
Okay, well, that's the whole other discussion then on the use of the notwithstanding clause and where it wasn't intended to be used, but that's a discussion perhaps for another day. I will ask you before we run out of time, speaking of Bill 96, there was a situation in Montreal just a couple of days ago, and we're going to talk more about this after 5:30. People at a session being held by the Quebec Education Ministry, dealing with their children with disabilities, where they were told that the persons giving this particular information session were not able to speak to them in English because they had been directed by the ministry not to do it, even though this was designed for English parents. What's your reaction to that?
You know, these were English parents with English kids going to English school and having important information about their kids. My position is that the presentation should have been in one language, English. And I don't see why anyone should wonder about this. You know, the English population in Montreal have the right to English education. Everything that has a link to English education should be in English. That's it.
You know, the government didn't even know how to deal with this on the first day that it happened. And now they said that they would study this. I don't even think there's been necessarily a formal apology or admission of a mistake here. So I'm not sure where this goes.
There should be. Okay. And you can quote me on that.
All right. Jean-François, I thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take good care.